expected the Rocky Mountains to be a little rockier than this.
I was thinking the same thing. That John Denver's full of shit, man.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, that John Denver's full of shit, man.
I guess so. Well, he went in to drink, so does it matter?
Fucking Rocky Mountains aren't this rocky. This is bullshit.
Rocky Mountain High.
Rocky Mountain High. Colorado. Samsonite.
Greatest Coors commercial ever.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's funny because it made me want to try Coors when I was younger, and then I tried a Coors, and I was like, nah. It's not going to happen.
I actually liked Coors beer. I liked it a lot.
There was, what's the fancy Coors? Coors Extra Gold or something Banquet. Weird? There was one. Yeah, Banquet. That was all right.
Johnny drinks that on Cobra Kai.
Perfect. You nailed it. What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, Nick, we're going to talk about some our guilty pleasures in the world of television, movies, and probably the internet.
What are the parameters of that? Because, yeah, I don't know what I can divulge.
Anything goes.
History? Okay, all right. Anything. Cover that.
And then we're going to do a little Emmy recap to see if the shows that deserved it.
How much did you watch? Because I watched like a tiny bit of it and it was creepy.
I watched the first 45 minutes of it.
Oh, you made it further than me.
The opening was great.
Jason Bateman.
That was awesome.
Lovable.
So, you get your olive? You good?
I'm good. I got my olive. We're ready to go. Let's do this.
So, let's talk about this. A lot of people have guilty pleasures, you know, the stuff they love to watch. They'll just watch it whatever, you know, whether it be, you know, you want to watch Dirty Dancing over and over again and then count the amount of times that Patrick Swayze's knees are dirty then clean in the same scene.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody. But those watermelons look good. But
rest in peace, Patrick Swayze. I miss him. I do too. The whole second half of his career we never got. We got robbed of that.
You know, every time I start a fight, I always start off by going to Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott, you haven't aged a day, sir.
No, good mustache game, too.
He drinks Banquet. You know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I have a couple of movies and a few TV shows that I will always watch, no matter what, because I'm just intrigued by them, how much they, you know, TV shows mostly have to do with today's world.
All right, let's go. Let's hear it. You tell me, and then I'll tell you if this qualifies.
Let me get the movies out of the way first. There's one movie that I saw a while ago, and I loved it from the first time I saw it. And no matter when it's on, I'll watch it, because there's just moments in it where it just makes me laugh, makes me think. Makes me cry. Well, it doesn't make me cry, but
it makes you cry. Just admit it. It's fine.
Well, it's not Brian's song, but
oh, that's not a guilty pleasure.
By the way,
yes, that makes me cry, and B, that's not a guilty pleasure. Cross that one off.
Rest in peace, Gil Sayers.
Gil Sayers. This 2020. I mean, we're gonna have to spend half of 2021, if things get back to normal, just discussing all the bad shit and people we lost in 2020.
I know, and another sports legend. A sports legend for me passed away today too. That would be Road Warrior Animal of the Legion of Doom or the Road Warriors.
LOD, absolutely.
All right, let's get back. The movie, obviously, stars a local boy, Boogie Nights. I just find this movie, this movie is just fascinating.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's long and fat. PTA, is it his best movie? I think it's debatable. The funny thing about that movie is it's so layered. There's a lot of things to go through. It's very sort of episodic. There's so many great actors in it, and you can discuss it like endlessly.
It's got a great soundtrack also.
Oh, it's an unbelievable soundtrack.
Reha Jackson. I mean, come on. You can't get no better than that in a movie.
But it is. Like you said, it gives you the gambit of emotions because there's a lot of funny stuff. There's some really heartbreaking stuff and there's like disturbing stuff.
Yeah. So that to me is one of my movie guilty pleasures. What do you have?
So, I mean, if it's got to be something I rewatch a lot, I get picked on for one in particular because for years and years in my top 10 of all time, I do write a movie blog, realwatchability.com. I had a classic film called Joe vs. the Volcano. And this is Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan first time together. Obviously, they have great chemistry. Later on, they did You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle, etc. But this movie is a really weird film. And it's the Island of Waponi Woo. It's Orange Soda. It's Robert Stack saying, "You have a brain cloud. It's not even a real thing." It's luggage that floats and saves their lives. You know, it's Lloyd Bridges, just like live like a king, die like a man. But I love this movie. And it's emotional for me. And when I mention it to people as like one of the greatest movies ever made, they look at me like I'm effing crazy. So I guess that I would consider that a guilty pleasure on the movie side.
That is a great, funny movie. And I love those two guys together anyway, Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges.
It's a you great can't movie. Get any better than that. Yeah. And the cast is unbelievable. It's actually like a really layered story. It has like fairy tale aspects to it. It's almost like The Princess Bride or something. But people just don't give it enough credit. And I don't understand why people are so messed up.
Now, The Princess Bride, that movie to me seems like it's just not long enough for some strange reason. It just seems like there's a whole section of that movie that seems missing to me. I don't know why.
Unlike our sports segments, you got to leave the people wanting more.
I guess so. It's going to be a part two of that.
I don't know. Maybe there is. I mean, they've done a lot of stuff on it the last year or so, but I doubt it.
The Big Show takes over for Andre. Okay. This is another movie. This is from Happy Madison. Okay, and it's not what you think. It's not starring Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler makes no appearance in this movie whatsoever. It's called Grandma's Boy.
Oh, I know this movie. Yeah. Okay. This would be, I would say this qualifies.
This is one of those movies. It's about these video game testers, and there's a genius guy in there that makes his own games, and he's just crazy as far as how it goes. And it has the usual gang of Adam Sandler castmates in it, and it's just a great movie to watch. It's got people that have been in TV shows. The mom from Everybody Loves Raymond is in this. She's actually the grandma.
She kills it.
Alan Covert is the star of this movie.
Like Adam Sandler's best friend or something like that for a long time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why that guy doesn't get more parts. He actually is a very good comedic actor. I know he does a lot of writing, but he's just a very good comedic actor.
Yeah. I'm surprised I haven't seen him more, too, actually. He could be in Grown Ups 3. I mean, what happened there?
I think he was. What else you got?
I don't know. So, I mean, it's tough for me. Like, obviously, I'm a big softie, and I like all these romantic comedies and stuff, and some of those would probably qualify. But I'm going to give you one that people just don't appreciate. It came out around 2005, I think, and it's Paul Provenza, Penn Jillette, made a documentary. It's one of my favorite documentaries of all time, and it's about the dirtiest joke ever made. And it's all a bunch of different comedians saying this dirty joke over and over again. And I remember I saw it opening day in the movie theater in Phoenix, Arizona. The movie theater started with about 25 people in it, and every time the joke got dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, less and less people, till there were literally me and some other guy there. I don't apologize. It's one of the funniest laugh out loud, spit out your nose movies I've ever seen. And shockingly, I can watch it over and over and over again. Not only that, Rob, it's on my iPod. That's how much I love this thing. And sometimes I'll play it for somebody and they immediately hate it. And sometimes I'll play it for somebody and they immediately like it. And I judge people on that decision.
A lot of people don't know that this is a joke that has the same beginning and the same end. It's just the middle that changes with each time. And
so it gets raunchier
and filthier. Fun fact about this movie. When it came out, I believe also the Aristocats came out at the same time. And parents were buying the wrong tickets.
It's the best. It was Aristocats 2 or something like that. And it's the best when people confuse those. They get everything they deserve.
But, you know, they can jump off the trapeze into a tub of shit and whatever. And
do you have a favorite comedian's version in this? Because they're all amazing and it's hard to pick one, but my favorite is still Gilbert Gottfried. Bob Saget, a close second there.
Gilbert Gottfried is the one, because Gilbert Gottfried, when he talks, he goes on a tangent.
It's funny because we can't wax too poetic on it. We don't want to give too much away, but it's like an insider joke, right? It's a comedian kind of, they judge other comedians on how they tell this joke. But Gottfried had such a history already that when he finally tanks his set, I think he makes fun of 9/11 or something, and nobody was accepting of it. So then he immediately breaks in. A guy walks into a talent agency and he just gets the room right back. And it's like the most incredible thing you've ever seen in your life.
Doesn't he also do impressions during the middle of the joke too?
I think he does. I mean, Kevin Pollak doing Christopher Walken, that's an incredible version too.
Doesn't Andrew Dice Clay make an appearance in his version as well?
He might. I can't hear. You can't do anything wrong in this joke. It's the best part about the joke.
You hear about the monkey that fell out of the tree. He's dead, you know.
Jack and Jill.
TV shows. I got a couple of TV shows. I'm not going to go too far into them. They're two comedies. Big Bang Theory, I'll watch the show no matter what. Great.
It is very watchable. I won't pick on you for that. I'm going to consider it a guilty pleasure because it's so like cookie cutter, but it is very watchable.
And there's eye candy in it too. Next show, though, one of my crushes of all time is in this. And it's not the male star, okay? So King of
Queens. Not Captain America?
No.
Okay.
King of Queens.
Scientology. Remini. Scientology outer. Whistleblower.
And that makes her even more sexier.
Listen, I remember her from Saved by the Bell, so I had a crush on her way before King of Queens.
What else? else do you have?
So for me, this one's going to make me seem silly, but I'm not going to lie to America. I loved every episode of the show, and there were a couple episodes that made me kind of tear up. And this show is also on my iPod, and I know you will not like this one, but Glee. I mean, it's an incredible show. It covered all the bases. They had a bunch of great covers, and sure, not everyone was a gem, but I love those crazy kids from Glee. But ultimately, I love that show and what it represented while it was on. So that would be a guilty pleasure. And I actually own a couple seasons and I can go back to it every once in a while.
Well, speaking of Glee, this is not on my list, but do you remember the Glee Project when that came out and it was like they were looking for the next cast?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I remember it vaguely.
There's another show out there which is going to be a future guilty pleasure of mine. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Very I've seen the well, show, Rob. This show is good. Well, yeah, it's actually really, really charming. And it's got a couple people from Glee on there.
Exactly. Yeah, her best friend is one of the people that was on the Glee Project.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be a guilty pleasure show going forward. I love the way they do the songs.
The nice thing is, like, that show, again, like all good TV shows, we talked about Ted Lasso before, they sneak emotional moments in. And it's a fun show to watch, and the music is fun. Everybody's really attractive. But then there's real, legit, relatable, emotional stuff that just hits you in the stomach. And Zoe's is probably, it's a perfect, like, piece that carries on what Glee did, maybe what Scrubs did, shows of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. I didn't finish that first season, but I'm going to go back and finish it, and I'm in for the second season.
There's another show that's almost similar to that, which was on, and I watched it too, similar to the song and dance portion, and that was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Another really good, well-written show based on the same thing. But I have another one also. Two of them. I will watch them. I've been watching them since the inception. Law and Order. I've watched every single season. I know every Lenny one-liner from Law and Order from the old days. And the other one, same thing. CSI, the one filmed from Vegas. That original CSI. The Grissom years, mostly. Very good guilty pleasure shows for me.
And William Peterson, the original Manhunter there, first guy to meet Dr. Lecter in a movie.
Do you got anything else?
For TV, I don't know what else I would say is a guilty pleasure. I don't have as many that I watch anymore. In the first few episodes of Ted Lasso, I would have been embarrassed to admit I really like it. But now I think people are catching on and it's just a really good show. I did like probably more than I should have. What is it? Little Fires Everywhere. Not because it was well written, because I'm not sure it was, but just because Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon going at it was so just couldn't take your eyes off of it. So every once in a while, like, I like one of those soap operas. I miss my old Melrose Place type show that would get me through like a Wednesday or a Thursday night. So I'll lynch on to one of those every once in a while. That, and just a quick shouts to ID Channel. I, for just like everybody else in America, I just want to see people die. And I always want to blame the wife when it's typically the husband.
Great shows on there. The old ID Channel.
Come and solve my crime, Joe.
Oxygen, all those, yeah, the crime channels.
The worse the reenactment, the better the show. The more I like it.
Well, where can people find this Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso is on Apple TV, and I'm telling you, we're about 9 episodes in, I think. It's released every Friday. It's 22, 25 minutes. It moves quick like a bunny. And it's Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live. It's incredible stuff. If you haven't seen this show yet, I promise you, don't judge it on the first episode, the second episode. If you make it to 3 and 4, it's gonna win you over. It's going to warm your heart.
Cool. I mean, Apple TV, you know, now they have 3 shows that are worth watching on that?
Yeah, sure. 1.5. I'll give it to him.
1.5? Okay.
I tried the morning show. Couldn't do it.
Folks, if you want to question us anything and want us to answer any of your questions, you can always email us at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
And the Twitter handle that I say twice because Nick can't, that would be Nick and Rob E2W. That's Nick and Rob E, the number 2W.
E, the number 2W. It's difficult. Let's go over the Emmys, Rob. We'll do a quick one. Quick go over the Emmys.
All right.
Anything break your heart? All right. Were you mad that Succession won Best Drama Series? Were you surprised that My Breakfast at Tiffany's Holly Golightly won Lead Actress in a Drama Series? Zendaya for Euphoria, a show that if you have children, you should never, ever watch. And then Schitt's Creek just cleaned up the place. That was surprising.
The funny thing about Schitt's Creek, and we can't do it because we're on a podcast, is that every time they said it, they had to put it on the screen with the dollar dollar sign at the end, even though it's spelled completely different.
Yeah, so it's the problem, America. You can't handle it.
Which is why, as they said, network television is dying.
This is why we'll never have a peaceful transition. Grow up, America.
That's right.
I mean, okay. I was happy The Watchmen got some love. Eugene Levy's son, that was a big win. I was very happy for that. Regina King, obviously. There were plenty of things that made me happy. I'm not a Succession guy like a lot of people are. So that one, okay, fine. But nothing really made me too mad. And I was happy that people like Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy got some love. That's well worn.
Okay, Succession and Euphoria, I didn't watch either of them.
I've seen them both. I tried both.
Once you see McSteamy in a TV show about a naval destroyer, I don't want to see him, drooling over girls three times younger than himself. So
I was pissed Mark Ruffalo won, not because that show wasn't good. I did try to watch it. It was very well done.
I know why you're going to say this.
What is with the people playing twins? Stop doing that. I hate it. Lazy Jean-Claude Van Damme. Give him an Emmy.
Yeah, I know. Tom Hardy did it.
Jesus, can we stop this?
Damn. Don't forget, Leonard Nimoy also did it, too.
Listen, he's not exempt. It's on you, Leonard. That's on you, man. Rest in peace. The only one who ever did it good was Armie Hammer in The Social Network. That's the only one I'll allow. I stand by it.
Oh, the Finkelberg twins there?
Winklevoss, yeah. If you would have invented Facebook, you would have invented Facebook. Get the fuck out of here.
Great movie. Have you seen Vivarium yet?
I have not. It's, you know what? You got to be in the right mood for something like that, man.
Yeah, you do, because that is a complete mindfuck.
Yeah. Now, The Watchmen, it got a decent amount of love. Writing, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who had a great performance, and obviously Regina King, as we mentioned before. You know, the one thing I would say about the Emmys is, now that we're getting more into the nitty-gritty of these categories, too many categories. Can we just group some things together? I know we have streaming networks and limited series and TV movies. It's getting kind of weird to me. I'm sort of losing the thread on all these categories.
Yeah, and then they also have the best episode. And
and there's like multiple episodes of one show. That's confusing to me.
First of all, you can't tell me that one show can just continually just clean up over and over again. You just can't tell me that. I mean, there are other fantastic shows out there that could have taken something.
I totally agree. And some of these, like, they just fall in love with, like, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and stuff like this. It's kind of, I don't really like it. The voting pool there, it's kind of weird. It's not that I don't appreciate the award show, and I'm glad they did it, and I thought it was clever the way they put it together, although I didn't finish it. But I don't necessarily trust the way they picked these winners. But like I said, nothing that got me too hot and bothered.
And not for nothing, a lot of people don't have Netflix, or a lot of people don't have Prime to watch anything on there. And so it's like, a lot of people are like going, who are these shows? What are these shows? A lot of people don't have the Pop Network.
Yeah, people can't find. They can't download the Apple TV app. I just figured it out this year, man, like a couple months ago. So what it does is it oversaturates the market. It kind of thins everything out. So it's hard to see like Netflix dominate the Emmys or something, or HBO dominate the Emmys. A lot of people don't have HBO. A lot of people don't have Netflix, like you said. I sort of long for the days, and we will never go back. You cannot put the toothpaste back in, right? For the days where you have just like 4 or 5 networks and everybody's watching the same thing. 50 million people watching Cheers, 50 million people watching MASH, but that's just never going to happen again.
No, but shouts out to Norman Lear for being the oldest man to win an Emmy at the age of 98.
You watch that show? It's like a remake of one of his older shows. It's kind of weird. Do you watch that show? I've seen some of it, not a lot of it.
No, I don't.
That guy's incredible. He's just a great writer.
I hate to wait for it, but I know it's going to happen soon. We're going to start losing some of our legends pretty soon.
Yeah, it's happening. It's really heartbreaking.
Let's kind of just hope that it doesn't happen in 2020, because then it would just really suck for the rest of this year.
I will say the one nice thing about, and the Emmys was a nice reminder of it, the one nice thing about 2020 is that we had a lot of choices. So we're all stuck in our homes. It was nice to have multiple choices, multiple networks.
That's a good thing. And you know what, though? Why don't we take a little break right now and have a few words from our sponsor.
Anchor.
Sometimes it's okay to punt the football.
Drink up, everybody, because we're back. It's Thirsty Thursday.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Oh, Nick, you know what time it is.
Bloody Mary's Afternoon Delight?
Sure. No, it's time. It's time for Bubble Talk.
Bubble Talk, pop those things.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer, beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right, all right, all right. Bubble talk. We're going to keep it nice and quick, right? First, we're going to spend a good 10 minutes on the NHL. Any thoughts, Rob, on the Dallas Stars and the Tampa Bay Lightning?
From what I've heard, they're both playing in a swimming pool.
That is correct. That is correct. Above ground. Above ground. Most people don't know that.
Yeah, above ground.
Lightning lead the series 2-1. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not watching it. Are you watching it?
No, Nick, but I'm going to be waiting outside that swimming pool with a golf club.
I will say, of the 5 minutes I've watched of this series, I weirdly am rooting for Tampa Bay, even though I really don't care that much, only because since you take out the Bruins, you know, you sort of gravitate toward that team. But I could care less, and I don't think anybody's going to care when the Lightning lift the cup over their head.
Only one good thing came out of Tampa Bay.
All right, quickly now, baseball. I just wanted to bring it up because I don't get a lot of chances and this shortened season is almost over. Alex Verdugo leading off the Red Sox, batting over 300. Looks like a lovely catch for the Red Sox, so I'm glad that worked out, and you were right about that. You nailed it. Also, Eovaldi. I thought that I watched almost all that last game, and he looked really, really good. 3.75, around a 3.2-ish whip. He's going to be a perfect number three, number four. A lot of good things on this team. Devers ended up heating up toward the end. Christian Vasquez had a very solid year. JD Martinez was the only thing that had kind of a down year, but nobody really cares that much. And we won quite a few games now. We're kind of respectable. We're not going to be the worst in the league. Any bright spots for you? Do you think that we were on the right track earlier when we said that they shouldn't blow the whole thing up?
Well, all these young guys coming back next year, I'm going to finally say it. I'm going to take it right out of Major League. These guys ain't too fucking bad.
Right?
Next year's going to be a good year.
And there's some young, weird, or interesting arms that I kind of like Phillips Valdez, for example. There are quite a few good things here. And actually, Matt Barnes, he's probably not a closer, but if he was our closer next year in the context of us saving a little money, we'd probably be fine. We just got to get the two aces back and we're going to be all right.
Like I said, I think it's going to be a good year next year for the Sox. But
all right, that's it for baseball. We're going to talk about the playoffs on the next episode when we have all the matchups kind of lined up here and ready to go. Now we got to talk about the tough one. That felt like a must win with the Celtics and Heat, Rob. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it was. That was a heartbreaker. I mean,
Marcus Smart giveth, Marcus Smart taketh away.
Like I said, the better team is playing the harder team.
Yeah. This guy, Tyler Hero. Who the fuck is this guy? Where did this guy come from?
Obviously, he's their hero.
There goes my hero. This guy was making everything. At one point, he shoots one that was like 20 feet behind the line, and he airballs it, and nobody cared because he was so hot. I don't know. That was just so odd, man. That was a weird game.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not going to say anything. I don't usually like to talk about it in these situations. Boston team has come back before.
We have. Absolutely. Greatest comeback of all time. Greatest comeback in sports history. Only to be topped by another greatest comeback of all time, also a New England team. But I would say there was, I thought he was going to be the saving grace. He played very, very well, but it was other players that kind of sunk it a bit. I'm shocked that this Heat team is this good. And if they end up getting through us, I have a lot of confidence that they can beat the Lakers, possibly the Nuggets, but most people think the Lakers are going to win that thing.
The Gordon Hayward bubble wrap experiment is over. I mean,
we can't get rid of him anyway. We have to accept him. And he played okay, to be fair.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about football, what happened last week. Any thoughts from the previous week? Obviously, it was a devastating week for injuries. We're going to bring that up in our fantasy football question segment. There were some things I liked and some things I didn't like. I actually thought, I know you picked the Patriots to win outright. I thought they played very well. There were some encouraging things in that game. I hated the last call of the game.
Everybody knew that he was going to run.
If everybody knew, then why call the play?
It should have been make it look like a run, roll out pass. Edelman, boom, touchdown, done.
One tall guy on the right side, and he fades back. He like spin moves back, and Cam kind of fakes it. By the way, they wasted a timeout. They could have called a timeout and not let 10, 11 seconds run off, and they could have got two plays in. That could have got at least one throw and one attempt in there.
By the holes in Belichick's sweater.
Can we do something about that wardrobe? It's a professional sports league. Put a shirt without holes on, for Christ's sake. Get yourself a Subway sandwich.
He probably saw a Patriots shirt in Abercrombie & Fitch and decided to put it on. You never know.
Now, aided a little bit by the injury of CMC, which is devastating for fantasy players and real NFL players alike. He's a fun player to watch. The only thing fun to watch on the Carolina Panthers. Well, Robbie Anderson, maybe. TB12. TB12 did okay. Played a little bit better. The defense of that team actually looked much feistier in week two. Do you think that was a right the ship effort for the Buccaneers? Or are you still anti Tom Brady?
No, I still don't think he played that well.
He played good in the first half. The second half, he looked a little tired.
Yeah, he needed a nap.
By the way, I lost legit money. I do that weird mistake in Las Vegas where like it's a blowout and then you start thinking about what you're going to do with the money that you won with that Atlanta Falcons. I had them plus 175 and they just can't. What is wrong with that O'Quinn guy? They don't know how to win games there. This is so odd. I hate that team. I hate them.
First of all, it's now proven that Atlanta cannot keep a lead.
They can't. See, against the Dallas crappy Cowboys? Man, I was looking forward to them being 0-2 and the stupid Atlanta Falcons screwed me over.
Talk about some fantasy points too with Dak.
Everybody, just about everybody. Dak had like 3 rushing touchdowns. Matt Ryan's throwing over guys I never heard of. The only guy who didn't light it up was Julio Jones. Now, let me ask you this question because I think this is relevant and I think this is going to be a recurring theme. Now, you knew who my Super Bowl pick was. We mentioned it on a previous episode. I won't bring it up again, but this Packer team, now I know it's the Lions and they tend to play the Lions well, but I'm starting to see something about this Packer team. If they cannot get injured, I really think, especially with the Niners and all their injuries, kind of chalk them off, cross them off the list. And I'm not sure about Seattle. I think this Packer team is gearing up to be the favorite or the co-favorite, maybe with New Orleans, to get to the Super Bowl. Do you have any thoughts on what you're seeing? Aaron Rodgers playing like a man determined.
He's playing like a guy that knows that there's someone that they put on that team out of the draft that's going to take his place. And he doesn't want to give it up.
That's a great quarterback name.
Yeah. He doesn't want to give it up. So
sometimes that's how you motivate the guy, right?
Yeah.
Knock it off with this Danica Patrick nonsense. Focus on football.
Once an asshole, always an asshole. I don't care about your stupid commercials with Allstate.
I guarantee if I went for a beer with Aaron Rodgers, we would hate each other. We would hate each other. We would not do podcasts together. Oh, anything else that you saw? I mean, obviously Saquon Barkley, another devastating injury. The Giants, you know, we like Danny Dimes. Both of us like him. That team is poorly coached, and I'm not sure what's up with that. I hope Deion Lewis gets a little bit of run with them, but I'm not so sure. Kirk Cousins. What's up, Kirk Cousins? Stock down or what's going on with this guy?
You don't like that.
Do you like that? 3 picks. I don't, Kirk. I don't.
Showing his typical Kirk Cousins self. I had faith in him. I thought this was the team for him to be at, but
it's talented. There's a lot of good players on this team.
But I still think that Kirk Cousins is going to go to the Jets and bring the Jets to glory. I don't know why. I just have this feeling that it's going to happen. He's going to take the
I can see. You know what? The more you say it, the more I picture him in that crappy green, and I can see it happening. You're probably right about this. Oh, just quickly now, I want to sneak it in. The Chiefs almost blew it and lost to the Chargers. The Chargers played a heck of a game, and this guy, Justin Herbert, looked like, I don't know, he looked like Steve Young. I thought his play was inspiring, but it ended up coming up short. Patrick Mahomes ends up getting the win, a couple of big plays. They blew some big, deep coverage. Similar to the Patriots. What do you think? The Chiefs still the favorite up there in the AFC?
I don't know.
Some chinks in the armor. You were texting me. You were like, you got to turn this on, Nick. This guy's not playing well.
Mahomes is becoming the, you ready for this?
Uh-oh.
The Eli Manning of football, where he plays sucky for 3 quarters, and all of a sudden in the 4th quarter, he turns it on.
Jesus, that is devastating. I don't know what to make of it. Like I said, I didn't watch a ton of the Chiefs the first 2 games, so I will get to them, and I will scout them properly. You know, I still like Baltimore. So now they lost in the playoffs to the Titans last year. Titans, by the way, still playing great. That's a well-coached team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Even in a game when Derrick Henry didn't do well, that's still a team that did pretty well. Now, lastly, the Saints, the Las Vegas fucking Raiders. Seriously? Is Sean Payton as good as we think he is? Is there something wrong with this team? I feel like they lost that game, not necessarily the Raiders won it.
I believe that Derek Carr played to win that game just to spite John Gruden, because I know Gruden doesn't like him.
He was pretty fearless. You know what? He's growing on me, and that team is growing on me. And Josh Jacobs, I mean, I think he got scuffed up a little bit, but I like watching that kid run the football. Darren Waller, he might be Rob Gronkowski, man. This guy's legit too. So tall, goes after the ball, fade it to him, throw it high. It's going to be fine. That guy will take care of it.
They have some good players on that team. And I'm going to tell you, that stadium looks beautiful. The Death Star.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Yeah, the Death Star. You're right. All right. So what does that lead to, Rob? What are we doing next?
Oh, well, we're going to go and probably talk about the Golden Girls for a little while.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to talk about the Golden Girls, although that's an incredible show. One of the greatest shows of all time. Instead, we're going to do America's favorite segment. Say it with me now, Rob. Nick asks Rob fantasy football question. Hit the music. Now it's time for America's favorite segment. Nick asks Rob a fantasy football question. Devin Singletary.
Tom Brady.
TJ Hushmanzada.
Wahoo McDaniel.
Shane Falco.
Big Ernie Ladd.
Russell Wilson.
Johnny Hecker.
Paul Crewe or Enrico Palazzo.
Dick Butkus.
And here we go, baby. All right. Nick asks, Rob, fans, football question, America's favorite segment, the best segment on East to West with Nick and Rob. Are you ready, Rob? This is a big one.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. I can feel the excitement. All right. Here it is. Real life fantasy. Okay. Here we go. You had a lot of injuries in week two in the NFL. Big, big names. Cross them off your fantasy football team. You need replacements. First time we go to the waiver wire for Nick asks, Rob, fantasy football question. Are you ready, Rob?
Yeah.
All right. CMC is out. Who are you picking up off the waiver wire to replace him? Is it Mike Davis, running back replacement, Carolina Panthers? Is it Devontae Freeman, just signed free agent for the New York Giants? Or is it our old buddy, Deion Lewis, for the New York Giants? You have three choices. Mike Davis, Devontae Freeman, Deion Lewis. Rob, what is your answer? Choose wisely. Cup of a carpenter.
All right. I'll take Devontae.
Devontae Freeman. You know what? You nailed it. You got it right.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
Wow. The first time ever. Rob nails. Nick asks Rob fantasy football question. Thank you, America. Thanks for playing.
Still checking my contract. It's time to place your bets.
Copies for closers.
And now, folks, it's time for who do you trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
What's a casino? People gotta win sometimes.
Money, money, money.
You just cost me $6,000.
But nothing's predictable in this tough, harsh, highly competitive world where today's champion is tomorrow's crocodile shit.
I'm going to start this off right now. I'm going to say I'm going to take the Dolphins over the Jaguars.
Who knew? Harvard, Ryan Fitzpatrick, just dominating.
And I'm going to tell you right now that I'm going to predict the score at the exact seconds in time of the third quarter of this game.
You're like Biff from Back to the Future 2.
I got that book. Hold on. Let me look through it. All right. At the third quarter at 4:04 left, it's going to be 21-7 Dolphins.
All right. Let's start this thing off, Rob, with what everybody wants us to talk about. The fucking Las Vegas Raiders on the road in Foxborough with the New England Patriots. I thought Vegas kind of got this one kind of close, pretty much right. It's in the Vegas zone, as they say. New England -5.5. The over-under is 47.5. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's not being played in the Death Star. It's being played in Patriot Place in Gillette, where you can get a nice clean shave. And
starting to cool down there in New England, right? The leaves are turning a little bit?
No, actually, it's going to be like 85 degrees on Sunday.
Jesus, global warming. Gosh.
So I'm going to go with my boys, Patriots, with the points on this game. I'm sorry, I have to. I cannot go against them.
It makes sense. I actually think the Patriots will win. I'm not sure they'll cover the 5.5, but kind of like I did last week and nailed it, I'm going to go over 47.5. I'm not so sure. I know you like this defense, but we give up big plays on the backside. You know, we've seen that before with the Belichick defense. It's frustrating. It's frustrating, but I think it continues this week because Derek Carr is chucking it lately. I think the Patriots should win. I'm not sure if they cover, and I think it goes over 47.5.
I can go with that. I can see that.
I want to cover another game, and I know you like this team quite a bit. You watched Hard Knocks, and I think the Bills played pretty well. You know, it turns out the Dolphins aren't as bad as we thought they might be. Brian Flores has them, you know, at least geared to the right direction. So that was a pretty good test for the Bills. They had to really fight that one off. Rams at Buffalo. The Rams are +2.5, and the over-under is 47.5. Do you think Josh Allen can beat the Rams?
I think the Rams are going to be the sneaky team this year, and I believe that they will beat the Bills. That'll be their first chink in their armor.
I kind of agree, which means good money line option there for folks that are betting this stuff. I'm with you. I would take the Rams outright, or if you don't have the kind of cash for that, I would take the Rams +2.5, see if you could sneak away with a W there. All right, that's a pretty good one. Now, I wanted to ask you, because this one, every once in a while, you know there's going to be an upset, right? And it's in that Vegas zone sort of line. And I'm not 100% sure Kirk Cousins is as bad as we've seen the first 2 weeks. Titans at Minnesota. Now, Vrabel's got them coached up well. They played incredible the first 2 weeks. They are essentially the AFC. They were in the AFC title game with the Chiefs, right? So they've got the pedigree now. So they're a respectable franchise. But something tells me the Vikings can win this game. Now, it's Titans on the road, -2.5, okay? And the over-under is 49. What are your thoughts on that one?
I'm going to say it's going to be over, I'm going to say over 50 on this, you know, go with the even number.
Good for Vrabel. He's got the offense really humming, actually, there.
I say that the Titans win this game, though. I'm not going to go Vikes. No way.
You're probably right, but every once in a while, I get this two-team money line itch, and I got to scratch it. So I'm taking the Vikings outright as a home dog, which I always like to do here in Vegas. And I hope I'm wrong, because I kind of like the Titans more than the Vikings, but I have a funny feeling the Vikings aren't going 0-3. So that's my sneaky pick of the week.
You like that.
I love Adam Thielen, actually. That's my guy. Hooked on a Thielen. Come on now. All right, so let's go with, before we get to the Sunday night game, which we'll cover in picks, let's go with the other kind of big game of the week. Turns out Dallas isn't awful, apparently, and they ended up coming back and destroying my +175 Falcon pick. Good for you, Dallas. Dallas 1-1. They are at Seattle, if they're playing in Seattle. I think they're playing, right? I think they're back in Seattle now.
So
good for them. They're back home. I'm sure that's going to feel good. Seattle -5. The over-under, just wait for it now. 56. It's like video game numbers.
Okay. Unless it's going to be a blowout by one team. I mean, and I'm talking like complete blowout by one team. I mean, the way that the Seahawks, the way they're playing.
Hustle, bustle, Russell
from Wisconsin.
Unbelievable. Great hair. Guy's got amazing hair.
Jeez, that's a tough one. I mean, I like the Seahawks.
It feels like a weird game though, right? It feels like some wonky shit's going to happen. I could see like Dallas is clearly not the better team, but something tells me like Dallas could walk away from this.
I don't think Ezekiel is going to be feeding himself too much, but.
That guy, come on, tattoos, man. Choices.
Yeah. You think he is Tommy Lee?
I think he does. Yeah, this is a hard game to pick. That's why I gave it to you. I knew it would give us a little bit of pause. You know, if you're forcing me to do it, I would take Dallas +5, but not feel great about it at all.
Yeah, I got Russell Wilson playing this week on my fantasy team. Sorry.
All right. It's going to be a lot of points whether they win or lose. Trust me, you're going to be fine. All right, that about covers it for the pick segment of the show. What's up next, Rob?
Well, you know what time it is. Like Russell Wilson's hair, these are the locks of the week.
Locks of the week, baby. These ones count. Here we go.
First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
All right, Rob, you ready for locks of the week? We got to make these right. These ones count. Here we go. First game on the board. I'm going to give you the choices. You tell me what you're going to lock up here. Green Bay playing very, very well on the road. New Orleans lost a tough one, 1-1 now. New Orleans -3 at home. The over-under, again, video game numbers here. I'm not sure I like the NFL with no defense. 52.5. Okay, that's your first option.
Me, personally, I'm going to take the Saints.
-3?
At home, -3.
It's scary, though. It's scary. Could you see the Saints 1-2? Are they going to do like a what's wrong with the Saints segment on SportsCenter if that happens?
Yeah, they'll be the Aints again in no time.
I want Jameis. Can we get Jameis in there? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that game. If you're forcing me to pick, I'm taking Packers +3, but I'm not sure that would be my lock. Let me give you the other choice here because this game, this is a classic. I hope it lives up to the hype. It is Chiefs on the road, 2-0, by the way, against the Ravens at home, also 2-0, my Super Bowl pick, mind you. Ravens -3.5 over under again, video game numbers 54.5. Any thoughts on that one?
Okay, me personally,
this is a good game. Just admit it. This is a great one.
I'm taking the Ravens.
Really? I'm surprised you're doing that. So you did see something last week with the Chiefs.
But wait for it. +60.
You can't lock that up. That's definitely against the rules. That's not in your contract.
I'm doing it. I don't care. These are our rules.
That one is a game I like. Actually, the safest bet is probably to go over 54.5, even though that's an outrageous number. But I would take Baltimore. And that 3.5, that hook half, really gets you. But Baltimore -3.5, I really think they got something to prove after last year, getting knocked out of the playoffs by the Titans. I would take Baltimore.
Okay. Do you want to know who the Phantom picked?
I just want to recap. I want to recap for the audience before we give it to the Phantom, who is 3-2, I believe, in picks. Rob is 0-2. I want to make sure I get that clearly out there. I am 1-1. And this week, my lock it up pick of the week is Ravens -3.5. And what is your lock, Rob?
My lock it up pick is the Saints.
-3.
-3.
It's going to be a tough week for both of us. All right, give us the Phantom. What do we got?
All right, the Phantom. The Phantom is going with the Packers, like 3.5 over the Saints. However, the Phantom also thinks that the score could possibly be 31-27.
31-27 makes it 58?
Yes.
All right. That'll do it for locks of the week then.
Wait, the Phantom has one more special pick for you for that Monday night game. The Phantom is also going to pick the Ravens with a score of 37-34.
37-34 does not cover. So what they're doing is taking the Chiefs +3.5 and taking the over 54.5. Wow. The Phantom, high numbers. I guess they're watching what we're watching, which is, again, video game numbers in the NFL.
Phantom uses their big blue IBM computer and analyzes everything.
Wait till we get to recommendations. I have thoughts on that. All right, that'll do it for Locks of the Week then. Bet, but bet wisely. And if we're wrong, don't blame us.
Fuck you. That's my name.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
I'm hungry. You hungry?
What's the food segment this week? What are we talking? What are we munching on?
Okay, we're going to talk about Subs and Sammy's, okay? Chain restaurant. The chain sandwich places, the best ones that I think there are. And then a couple of local ones for the tourists when they come to our areas. I'm going to go with my first one. And I'm going to say that one of the better chain sandwich places is Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's for the super sub, done Mike's way, which is like all the veggies, little olive oil, little bit of vinegar, salt, pepper on their Parmesan bread. Man, it is a one hell of a sub and worth every penny.
I totally agree. I love Jersey Mike's and I'm fairly new to it. I didn't have it till a couple years ago. I love the way they wrap the bag and the way they layer the sandwich and the oils. It's classic. It's just a really, really solid sandwich.
Now, do you have any chain places out there that you would recommend?
So my favorite is also a local one, and they are starting to expand a little bit, but they're still relatively local. I am a huge Capriati's guy, and Vegas has a ton of Capriati sandwich places around here, and they're starting to, like I said, spread out a little bit. For me, Capriati's, Capistrami, the cheesesteak, and everybody's favorite, the Bobby, where they use real turkey, put a little cranberry sauce in there. Bread is always consistent. The large could feed a small horse. Just an incredible sandwich shop. Well worth it. Maybe a dollar or two more than what you're used to paying, but well, well worth it.
Well, guess what? There's actually a Capriati's at Patriot Place.
See? It's growing. And you know what? Rightfully so. It's an incredible sandwich.
Now, I'm going to go with another one that you'll remember this place. I'm not sure if it's actually made it past the Mason-Dixon line or if it's made it past the Mississippi River, but D'Angelo's.
Oh, D'Angelo's. Yeah, you don't have those on the West Coast. I miss that place. That's a legit place.
For one sub and one sub only, extra meat in the number 9. The number 9 named after Ted Williams, steak and cheese bomb.
Absolutely.
Mushrooms, peppers, onions, and cheese in this sub. It's just a very well done, constructed sub. There's something about their bread when they make it. You ask for the grinder to be toasted in the oven. It just has that nice chew to it, and it's packed full of flavor.
Yeah, I think for me, like I don't toast a lot of these sandwiches, but that's a place that does it really, really well. The bread is so crucial to most of these sandwich shops.
Now, do you have another chain out there that is worth mentioning? I mean,
so I'm gonna go back. I went a little bit local with Capriati's. As you said, it's expanding and getting kind of national now. But the other one that I grew to like fairly recently again is Jimmy John's. Now, it's a very basic sandwich and it depends what you like, but I really like their layered sandwich, the shredded lettuce. Their number 8 is unbelievable. Their roast beef is always fresh and decent. There's like 4 sandwiches I like, and now you can get the Little John, that little sandwich. And if you get the BLT, it's just perfectly layered, very well done. Basic menu. There's not a ton of things to choose from. Get a quartered pickle and a chocolate chip cookie and you're going to have a great lunch.
Those are closing out here like nobody's business.
I think it's an easy franchise to run, but I'm not sure it's super profitable.
I mean, we had the other ones. We had Quiznos here. Those just came and went. We had
I didn't like Quiznos,
here.
Yeah. I'm not a Quiznos
guy. Those came and went. I mean, Firehouse is now coming and popping up in the area, but I'm not so sure about how that is done. I've never had one.
It's fine. It's nothing special. It's like mall sandwich.
I think the closest one to me is in like Burlington, Mass., which is near the New Hampshire line. You know that. But for local, I'm going to give you 2 places if you're ever in Boston. 2 little hidden gems. One of them is in the town that I live in, and I'll just say it's Nantasket Beach, and it's called Beach Food Market, and the guy that runs this place, Frankie, he makes homemade meatballs, and his meatball sub is to die for.
Wow.
Extra marinara on the side. Talk about like
it's
a 7
it's all about the marinara sauce with a meatball.
Very good. I mean, and you can actually also, if you don't want the bread, you can actually get a tray of meatballs.
Yeah. See, that's an option most people don't mess with. The Meatball House was a place that was open here for a little while, and you just got a cup of meatballs. Come on, man. That's money in the bank.
I mean, keep it in your hand. It's like getting food out of a food truck.
Is it a spicy meatball?
It's just a nice spice of meatball. I know you have a local a favorite out there. And I'm talking about just local.
I have a ton of them. There's too many. I want to give you one that's local from a place of a bygone era. I'm going to give you Kinsley House of Pizza. This place makes a great sandwich. And there is not a time, and I don't go as much as I used to, but there is not a time where I visit my hometown and not have a Philly cheese there. Incredible. incredible stuff. It seems like it's basic, but that basic East Coast water is something about it. The bread is always perfect. It's incredibly consistent for what it is, a small sandwich pizza place. Unbelievable. And I miss it, and I wish I had one right now. So Kinsley House of Pizza for my local one. It's not where I am today, but, you know, it's a great sandwich.
Doing your shouts out to the old home name.
Yeah, Nashua.
Nashua. Well, let me give you another one. This is a place called Previty's. It's in Weymouth. It's a butcher shop as well as a deli counter. And you can go in there and you can get a whole bunch of different sandwiches. I mean, they have a small, a medium, and then they have this giant sandwich. I mean, this thing is huge. Okay. And you can actually go in there and get a turkey gobbler sandwich. And I'm talking thick cut roast turkey breast, stuffing, cranberry sauce, a little bit of mayonnaise. And if you get the giant one, you could actually feed a family of six with this thing for 2 days.
Yeah. What's your thought on the big sandwich when they cut it up and you serve it like at a banquet or a work convention thing? It's got to be done right because sometimes it's just too plain. And I hate the little packet of mayonnaise that I got to squeeze on there. That always bothers me.
If you're going to get a sandwich, a giant sandwich, you know, like the Jethro size sandwich, you know, from the Beverly Hillbillies where he gets the giant Subway one there. I mean, get it with all the condiments on it. I don't care if someone doesn't like mayonnaise or someone doesn't like mustard or whatever it is. Just eat the damn thing. You didn't pay for it. Someone else did.
That's fair. I got to have my condiments, though. I can't just have a basic turkey sandwich. You're going to give it to me without salt and pepper, without mayo, without mustard? Get out of here with that. It's embarrassing.
No. I mean, when I get a turkey sandwich, I have to have those flavors. I have to have the stuffing and I have to have the cranberry. Yeah. A little bit of the mayo. The mayo just counterbalances it. You just have to have it.
I recently shifted to a half cran, half no cran because I want the sweetness, but sometimes when I get a full sweet, it's a little bit too much for me. Let me give you one local one here, though, in Vegas, because I know people come to visit this town still, probably too much during the pandemic, but they good for them. Look, it's a little bit off the beaten path, and you're going to have to drive away from the strip for about 10 minutes to get there. Seven Sinful Subs. Small place, not a ton of seating. Sandwiches are very reasonably priced. Unbelievable meatballs, especially when you consider it's on the West Coast. Just a ton of fun things on their menu. I'm not going to spoil it for you. Google it. When you're in Vegas, take the time, drive out there. Incredible sandwich place on the southwest side.
So seven deadly subs?
Seven sinful subs.
That sounds amazing. I mean, so I was hoping you were going to not pick the Earl of Sandwich because I had one of those and when I was out there and it wasn't
It's not bad. I think you got to give it one more shot because it depends what you get on the menu. And the problem with Earl of Sandwich is not always consistently good. So yeah, keep that in mind. There's a Carnegie Deli here that's not bad too, but I've had bad sausage, like a sausage roll there. And it wasn't super great.
If I'm going to go to the Carnegie Deli, it's going to have to be in New York. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they bring the stuff in. So like the food is all legit, but it's not the same consistency, unfortunately.
It's like you getting a lobster and if it doesn't come from Cousins, it's not worth it.
I don't like it when they fight the pot, man. It still heartbreaks. It still breaks my heart.
Just put it in there. Show no mercy.
Sweep Please don't name it. If you name it, I'll never enjoy it. And I love lobster.
I'm going to name one for you and I'm going to name it dinner.
That sounds about right.
All right, Nick. Do you have any recommendations?
I do. I'm going to keep it nice and tight today, and I'm going to give you one that's a bit of a downer. This thing has shook me to my core. It has literally impacted my life. I have erased stuff on my phone because of it. It is called The Social Dilemma, and it is on Netflix, and it is absolutely frightening, and it is a must watch for every human being.
Doc Web pussies.
Jeff Orlowski made it. He did Chasing Ice. I think he did Chasing Coral was the other movie he made. He's not like a super seasoned documentary guy, and even so, like, it's not even the greatest documentary of all time, but the people they have on it. It's literally the people who monetized, created, engineers, smartest people in the world that made these apps super addictive. You know, hearing them talk about it and saying we've lost control of the AI is incredible. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is incredibly scary. And especially if you have kids, you've got to watch this thing because we're gonna lose the world. We're going to lose the planet because of a stupid Peggle app on our cell phone.
Skynet is real.
It is. It just doesn't look like what you think it looks like. How do you escape the matrix when you don't know you're in the matrix, Rob?
I'm gonna give the gentlemen out there, all the guys out there, a recommendation. Okay, I've never had this done until this past week. I didn't tell you what I had done. Okay, I had a gentleman's mani-pedi done. Okay?
What? No, you yep. didn't.
I did.
Really?
I did.
I feel like that would be weird. It would feel penny. Weird.
I went in there. My feet were a mess. I've had bad feet for a while. Okay. I went in there and I had my toenails cleaned up, right? I soaked my feet. The girl that did it, her name was Kat. She completely cleaned up
It's a great name.
My mess of a foot. Okay.
Did you have like a friendly chit chat while she was doing it?
Yeah, she was. It was funny because it was like the first time I've ever had it done. But you know what? When you're getting your feet done, they also do a massage on your calves and the bottom of your feet too with the hot stones. And let me tell you, it just relieves all the stress. And I walked out of there, you know, and I had my fingernails done too. I had all the cuticles taken up. I mean, my hands were a mess. But I'm telling you guys, it's worth it.
What's the charge on something like that, Uncle Bookie?
It was $60, I believe, total for my hands and feet.
Wow, good for you. Maybe someday I'll do this. I don't get massages and stuff. It kind of weirds me out. I guess my OCD gets in the way.
It's not like a massage. I mean, it's more like a let's get the tension out of your feet, because your feet are your most important thing, especially if you're standing on them for a while. And I was a DJ for a long time, and I was on my feet for a long time. My legs deserved it. I should have done it years ago. This is the first time I've ever done it. So
you going to make it a habit now? Is this a thing where you're going to go all the time?
I'm going to go probably once every 4 or 5 weeks.
Wow, good for you. Life changing. You heard it here on East to West with Nick and Rob.
And that means I can wear sandals in the summertime and not wear just sneakers all the time.
Well, it's almost October, so you did it at the perfect time.
Hey, you know me. I wear shorts throughout the whole year, so it's not a big deal.
No shame, as the world has come to find out on East to West with Nick and Rob.
Still haven't shaved, but I know.
Look, I'm groomed. I'm George Michael circa 1994 now. I'm late George Michael, where it starts to get weird.
No, you don't ever want to compare yourself to George Michael, please. Why don't you just go and say, Boy George, you know?
Do you remember the music video with the spinning urinals after the incident? Unbelievable stuff. Just own that shit, man.
Homelander did it.
Oh. Hey, Homelander blows. Who does he blow? Homelander. Spoiler.
All right, Nick, any shout outs?
Always a shout out to our buddies at Dragon Questicles, dragonquesticles.com. Give me those questies. And then, of course, Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. We did 2 episodes of The Boys. We covered Homelander blowing Homelander. It's incredible stuff. Check that out, talkingflick.com. You can always hit up my movie blog at realwatchability.com. Top 10 movies of the year, top 10 movies of all time. Hit me up at Twitter at RealWatch.
And check out this pod for all the links to all the places you can go to get these sandwiches, subs, best
seven
movies.
Seven sinful subs.
Well, everybody, it's been great. It's been fun. Now we must bid you adieu.
Peace.
Guy walks into a talent agency.
What's that, the Joker?
You really want to know what love is?
Yeah.
Yes, tell us. More than anything in the world, Ron. Well, it's really quite simple. It's kind of like, gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be there anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together, making sparks ignite, and the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Boom!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
You guys have it, I think.
Afternoon delight.
I don't know, Ron. That sounds kind of crazy.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, you got mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does.
Man. Afternoon delight.